welcome to this Wednesday edition of What's Up New for Radio Edition. And the only day I know it is, only way in reason I know it is a Wednesday is because Frank Prosen's still sticking around, which he happens to do on Wednesdays, all because I promised him lunch after.
You got it.
That's the only reason. We have our little our company meeting after on Wednesday afternoons, and so he sticks around. And every now and then, we just chat ourselves about what is going on in the world. And sometimes we are joined by interesting guests. And today is one of those days. And we've talked about it in the last hour. Which, by the way, if you missed Frank's show in the last hour, he was joined by an author and who was writing about
Brian Stinson,
Newport First.
Yep.
So look for that podcast on WADK.com soon. Correct?
Correct.
It'll be up there, so it'll be good. Today what we're going to do is the Boston Marathon is quickly coming up here, and it will be take place on Monday, April 16th, and which reminds me, I have done a story on how many people are running from Newport County, and I am going to look that up quickly, Frank, because every year there is a good group, and we have some really fast runners down here in Newport County.
Do they run from Newport County up to Boston first?
They do not, because that would be about 60 miles, I believe.
Wimps.
But there is a big, pretty big group. There are 17 Newport County residents who will be running the 2018 Boston Marathon, and you can find a full list on whatsupnoop.com. And I also have a link where you can actually track them if you happen to know them. But in 2018, 30,000 runners will make up to 122nd. I put way too many twos in this story. 1,222nd. It's the 122nd Boston Marathon field. Of those 30,000, 17 call Newport County home. That doesn't seem that big now that I said it in that way.
No, but, you know, from the city, that's really good. I wonder how many Rhode Islanders total are in, but that's...
Way to challenge me there, but we have 7 from Newport, 3 from Middletown, 5 from Portsmouth, 1 from Tiverton, and 1 from Jamestown. Nobody from Little Compton this year, but 24 from Newport County ran the Boston Marathon in 2017, 22 in 2016. To see who's running and the Track Your Friends, visit BAA.org. Speaking of the Boston Marathon, our friend Heather Abbott joins us this afternoon, and good afternoon, Heather.
Good afternoon.
And the Heather Abbott Foundation is just growing and growing, and, you know, it seems like it's growing, right?
It certainly is.
It certainly is, and lots of fundraisers, and I look forward to supporting the one coming up on April 15th up in Boston. But I cannot believe it's been 5 years, but let's go back a little bit 5 years ago, and the idea and the start of the Heather Abbott Foundation.
Well, it started, as you know, as a result of my own amputation following the Boston Marathon bombing. I was a brand new amputee, so had no idea what to expect, and was kind of given a fast lesson in the world of prosthetic devices, and discovered that they are very expensive. They have very little by way of health insurance coverage, and that most amputees can't afford all of the prosthetic devices that they need to do all of the activities they'd like to.
Now, I remember I went up and visited you in the hospital during that time, and many people do not have any idea what goes into being an amputee, but you have to have several different legs, several different devices for different things that you just do on a daily basis.
That's right. You know, walking requires one type of leg. Running requires a different one. To adjust the heel height on shoes requires a separate leg altogether. Any water activities require a waterproof leg. There's quite a wide variety.
Heather, could you put it in actual monetary terms?
It really depends. It depends on the device and what's involved in it. One of the most expensive ones is one that we're working on right now with who will hopefully be a beneficiary of ours. And it happens to be a prosthetic hand with a microprocessor device in it. The list price on it's $102,000.
And insurance, for the most part, stays away from these, huh?
It's very unusual to have them covered. For this particular woman, her insurance will not cover it. And the type of device they would cover for her is one that she's not able to wear due to injuries she sustained in her car accident.
So what will insurance cover?
For her, they would cover what they call a body-powered arm with a hook.
not the most beautiful thing in the world for somebody. They want to be I would imagine they would want to be most close to normal and be able to do normal things with a replacement.
Exactly. This woman actually lost both of her hands. So a microprocessor hand would function very well for her and would also look, you know, a little more realistic than a hook would.
Does it seem like 5 years or does it seem like much more?
When sometimes I think about it, I can't believe it's only been 5 years. And other times it feels like it's hard to remember what life was like, you know, before becoming an amputee.
What are some of the ways things have changed, maybe with healthcare or with these devices in the last 5 years?
I think they, you know, continue to become more and more advanced. We're seeing more microprocessor and mechanical joints being instituted into prosthetic devices, which function more realistically. And I think in some cases, health insurance is coming around. We did have a young woman in Tennessee, 18-year-old woman who lost a hand in an ATV accident, who was having trouble with Blue Cross Blue Shield covering that same microprocessor type of hand. She had to go through 3 appeals and many months until they finally approved it, but they did approve it, and that's a big step. In our world, because once they approve something, they'd have a hard time not approving it in the future.
Yeah, going back on it.
Can you give us kind of an overview of the foundation a little bit? How much money you've been able to raise, and how people can be in touch, can help, and also if there are people in need, what you're able to do?
Sure. Well, the foundation's mission is to provide prosthetic devices to limb loss victims of traumatic circumstances. And we do have an application process where individuals who would like a grant for a prosthetic device can apply. Unfortunately, we get many, many more applications than funding that.
But by the time we're done with this radio program and people hear all about the ways they can help and all the fundraisers, you're going to be able to fill more, hopefully.
Cover everybody.
I certainly hope so. We've raised... a little over $500,000.
Okay.
Over the last 3.5 years. We've helped about 20 amputees from all over the country, ranging in age from 5 to 58.
It's 20 people who would not have been helped.
That's right, yeah. I mean, it doesn't sound like a huge amount, but considering the cost of the devices and the fact that we're a pretty small nonprofit, it's meaningful to me that we've been able to at least impact that many people.
Excellent. We are chatting with Heather Abbott today. Ryan Belmore, Frank Prozenz here on What's Up Noop Radio Edition. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back here with Heather after this. It is 1:15 at 48 degrees here in the city by the sea.
Your friendly officers here at Arrest the Pest serve and protect area homes, families, and businesses. Arrest the Pest has been providing the fix since 1986. No matter the pest, it ends in arrest. Arrest the Pest today. Call 738-3766. Pests, you detest them, and we arrest them. Hey, who loves you, baby? ArrestThePest.com. 738-3766.
The death of a family member or close friend is one of the most difficult times in anyone's life. O'Neill Hayes Funeral Home, founded in 1889, has been family-owned and operated for 5 generations. Serving families with dignity and respect for over 125 years, they've become a benchmark for service and compassion in the funeral industry. For more information on pre-planning or resources to help deal with grief, visit them online at O'NeillHayes.com or call 846-0932. O'Neill Hayes Funeral Home.
As baby boomers age, there are so many potential issues and real concerns.
What's the best housing solution for our elderly?
Will we have enough money saved for retirement?
How do we maintain optimal health?
What sort of estate planning should we be doing?
How do we choose the best Medicare plan?
AM 1540 WADK wants to help. On the first and third Friday of each month from noon to 1, experts from a variety of fields gather to discuss all these issues and more relative to anyone 55 or over with aging parents on Elder Affairs. Tune in live to hear this expert advice or go to WADK.com for podcasts of the program under the Elder Affairs tab.
brought to you by Blenheim Newport. Law offices of Silva, Thomas, Martland, and Offenberg. Chris Offenberg, Elder Law. Balance at Home. Carol Miller of Reverse Mortgage Funding. And Village House Nursing and Rehabilitation Center.
Here's a healthy tip from Newport Hospital. Maintaining a healthy weight is important at any age. Here's a simple strategy that helps keep you hydrated while helping to control calories. Drink more water. When you drink water, you are displacing calories from calorie-containing beverages. Drinking water before and between meals will also help fill you up and prevent overeating at mealtimes.
WADK and Corrigan Financial present another spring season of local baseball and softball action featuring Rogers, Middletown, and Portsmouth High Schools. These exclusive sports presentations are brought to you by
Midtown Oyster Bar, Party Plus, True Value Rental in Middletown, A1 Roofing and Construction, O'Brien's Pub, Newport Insurance, the Brick Alley Pub and Restaurant, Clements Marketplace, Coddington Brewing Company, West Main Pizza, and by Corrigan Financial.
Catch high school baseball and softball action live and local on WADK AM 1540 and WADK.com.
Play slots at Newport Grand Casino this month and earn 5 times the rewards points every Tuesday with bigger giveaways and better rewards than ever before. You won't want to miss it. So be sure to use your rewards card every time you play and watch the rewards roll in only at Newport Grand Casino.
And welcome back. What's up, Newport Radio Edition? Ryan Belmore, Frank Prosnitz here with you on a Wednesday. 118, 48 degrees. We're looking at afternoon rain. Winds can down trees and power lines. That's an interesting weather forecast.
There are no more trees to knock down.
High of 53 tonight. Strong winds clearing. Strong winds can down trees and power lines again. Low of 32. AccuWeather with the latest there. And we are being joined by Heather Abbott from the Heather Abbott Foundation. HeatherAbbottFoundation.org. Oh, my word. I know what I have to talk to you about. And I just thought about this. Over the weekend, I was with my girlfriend's family, and I was going through social media, and you have to explain this Doug the Pug thing.
Wow.
So there is this pug, which is a dog, Frank.
Yes,
and
I understand that.
This dog has a bigger following than anything in Rhode Island. I was looking because you had posted this whole journey that you hoped to meet this dog while you were in Nashville, and then you met this dog. You got to explain a little.
Yeah, I'm a longtime pug fan, and my family's owned pugs since before I was even born. I follow Doug the Pug on social media. He is the most famous pug in the world. He has over 6 million followers, and I'm a huge fan of his. In fact, I think I may be his number one fan.
He has his own Wikipedia page.
He certainly does. He won Instagrammer of the Year last year. He's pretty highly decorated. So I know that he lives in Nashville, and I've always wanted to meet him, so I reached out to him through his website to see if maybe we could get together.
All right. And Doug the Pug, you can look him up, but I was just impressed that Doug the Pug took the time out of the day to meet with you.
So I was impressed, too.
Does he actually write the stuff himself?
His mom, Leslie, does. And, you know, I was surprised that they met with me as well, because with 6 million followers, I'm sure they get a lot of requests. But I did discover why she agreed to meet with me when I did meet them. She told me that at the time of the Boston Marathon bombing, she was a college student, and she was running the Nashville Marathon that year, which was just a couple weeks after Boston, and felt very touched by what happened and wanted to do something to help the victims. As a 19-year-old, she set up a fundraiser where she was able to raise $1,000, and her local newspaper reported on it, and we actually found the article. And it's funny to look at what she says. She talks about you know, what she did and how she wanted to help. And she said, you know, I'm only one person. I'm 19 years old, and I can only raise $1,000. But there are other people out there that have bigger social media followings who can certainly help more. And now she's somebody with 6 million people following her. So she certainly has an opportunity to have a voice. And I think that Doug the Pug will be starting his own nonprofit relatively soon.
Look at that. And Doug the Pug is born on May 20th, so his birthday's coming up there at Prosnitz.
Yeah, we got to get something for him.
Well, he'll be 7 years old, and you can read more about him online. It's unbelievable. We were talking about the 5 years and how much can be done over those years. And the foundation has helped 20 people. Any of those stories, obviously, they're all so special, but can you share one of them or maybe a couple of them?
Well, one that I think is particularly touching, and one we'll be talking about at our fundraiser, because this beneficiary is actually going to come to Boston to visit for the first time, is a young man named Vidal Lopez. He was born here in the United States. He's a U.S. citizen, lived in the Chicago area for several years, and then spent a good portion of his life in Mexico, where he was in school as a high school student, finishing up his education and getting ready to start college when he was in a car accident and lost both of his legs above the knee.
Wow.
He was 19 years old at the time, and immediately came back to the States where his mom was, and had several surgeries and had to go through a recovery period, and like me, didn't know anything about prosthetic devices when this happened to him. So he went to a prosthetist, got the device they recommended, and was having a really hard time walking, which is hard for any above the knee amputee, especially a double. But the devices that the prosthetist gave him weren't the best on the market. And he began to realize that after some time in research. And when he found that there were devices that would help him be more active and mobile, and he asked the prosthetist about this, the prosthetist said, well, we can't apply for those now through your health insurance because they just covered the other ones. So you've got to wait at least 3 to 5 years.
Wow.
Why did he select those in the beginning? Was that a dollar thing?
The prosthetist selected them for Vidal. I'm not sure why, because most prosthetists wouldn't have. But he really did him a disservice because he gave him prosthetic devices that didn't do much for him. He was in his wheelchair most of the time. So when he came to the foundation, what he wanted were these two prosthetic devices that are called X3 legs. They're the Cadillac, I guess, of prosthetic legs out there. My friend Jeff Bowman has two of them. They cost $98,000 each. And that was pretty steep for Heather Abbott Foundation. So we were not able to get him the top of the line, but we got him the next best thing. Devices called C-Legs, and they do have microprocessor knees. We worked with a great prosthetist out in Chicago named Dave Rotter, who got us some tremendous discounts. And we got Vidal up and walking on these microprocessor legs. Dave said one of the fastest patients he's ever seen walking on these things. And before we knew it, he was driving his car with them, walking independently. And now he's back in school, and he'll be joining us at our fundraiser next.
How did he find the foundation?
He found the foundation just doing research online, looking for charitable organizations that might be able to help him.
What are some of the biggest challenges getting used to prosthetic devices? I know, you know, something as small as me, we're putting glasses or contacts in every day, that I still trip up on them or forget them and things like that, and got to get used to it. You know, you've been wearing this now for a couple years, 5 years now. What are some of the biggest challenges that you would want people to know about?
Well, when I think back to, you know, learning how to walk on a prosthetic leg, it was difficult. There's a lot of balance involved, and it doesn't feel anything like a real leg, which I kind of forget now because it's been so long since I've had to. But I do remember being shocked at the time at what it felt like. So getting used to that adjustment and learning to trust it is a big adjustment. And then there are all sorts of other hazards that come along with prosthetic legs, like ice and snow that you can't feel beneath the surface of it. And tripping and falling and all kinds of things.
I remember, and you might kill me after this, but I remember when I visited you in the hospital, one of your biggest fears was, is once you were okay and out of the hospital, is walking home from a bar and your leg falling off.
well, that's never happened.
I remember you saying that very clearly to me at the hospital, and you know, that being a fear. But it is all those little things that you never think of on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, people with prosthetic devices have to fear these things. And just a small thing like of not knowing of snow and ice and not being able to feel it.
Yeah, it's really tricky. And I guess you can't really appreciate it until it happens and you realize that you can't feel it beneath your foot. Wait, well, I know I'll use my other foot to kind of feel if the ground is slippery or not. And once it starts to slip, there's no getting it back in.
Do you feel like your other leg has become stronger or become more
dominant?
Dominant?
Yeah, it certainly has. It's hard to equalize them, although that's the goal.
Now, we've talked about legs and we've mentioned hands. What other prosthetic devices has the Heather Abbott Foundation been working on?
We gave out our first prosthetic eye recently.
That's interesting. Well, can you see through that eye? I mean, obviously, no.
No, you can't see. But the woman we gave it to was in her 40s from North Carolina, a mom of three. And she wanted an eye that looked real, that, you know, people wouldn't know was a prosthetic eye. So we were able to give that to her. We're also working on one right now with a young man from Kentucky who also would like his eyes to match. Who wouldn't, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So eyes, hands, legs, anything else that we wouldn't necessarily think about?
That's all we've worked on so far, but there are prosthetic breasts.
Oh, yeah.
You know, there are other prosthetic devices out there. We did have one gentleman we worked with. We didn't end up giving him a grant because we were able to get his request covered by his insurance company after a few appeals, but he wanted prosthetic fingers.
Okay. And that's something important to point out is even if, you know, you mentioned that you've been able to give to 20 people, but you've worked with many more and just with their insurance company and pointing them in the right direction, there's something great to be said about that.
Have you tied into other foundations that are doing similar things?
In some cases, yes. We've had a lot of opportunities to provide some influence with insurance companies and recommendations based on our experience. We've worked with the Challenged Athletes Foundation on a couple of instances on athletic devices. And we're currently sort of piloting a new program that the foundation is looking to establish where we'll partner with an organization called Camp No Limits. It's a camp that has several sites all over the United States, and they put on camps for amputee children to try different activities. And we're going to actually be giving a scholarship to one of their camps in Connecticut away during marathon weekend to a 8-year-old little boy who's going to be surprised.
Oh, that is such a great story. And we are chatting with Heather Abbott here. The Heather Abbott Foundation can be found at heatherabbottfoundation.org. When we come back, we're going to talk about her heroes, or my heroes, who are running the Boston Marathon. The train for the marathon as well as the fundraise for the marathon is just a remarkable thing, and we'll hear about some of her runners, how you could support them, as well as how you could support some of her events. If you happen to be going up to the Boston Marathon, it's not that far from Newport or wherever you are. An hour, in most cases, wherever you happen to be, you can be up there or make a weekend of it, like I will do, and we'll talk about all that and how you could support her foundation and more when we come back here on What's Up Newport Radio Edition.
You've heard about reverse mortgages hundreds of times on TV, but have you ever heard the whole story? Hi, I'm Carol Miller, NMLS ID 595725. I've been in the mortgage industry for 16 years, and I specialize in reverse mortgages. If you're 62 or older and you own your own home, let's talk. Simply tell me your needs and goals, and I can explain how this financial tool works and help you determine if it's right for you. Call me at 401-406-1247 for an appointment. I'm a Newporter. This is where I live and where I've guided people like you through the process. process for 16 years. There's no obligation, so bring your family. It's an important decision, one that could change your life for the better. Again, my number is 401-406-1247.
Reverse Mortgage Funding LLC is an equal housing lender. 1455 Broad Street, Bloomfield, New Jersey, 07003. NMLS number 1019941. Full licensing at NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Not intended for Hawaii and New York consumers. Massachusetts Mortgage Lender License. License number ML1019941. Rhode Island License Lender. Terms and conditions apply. Reverse mortgages are first mortgages. A reverse mortgage is a home secured debt payable upon default or a maturity event. Telephone 973-842-2448 or 888-494-0882.
The staff of Memorial Funeral Homes would like to remind you that in times of great grief, it is important to remember to hope. There are always plenty of reminders of our loss and the changes we must face, and that it makes it all the more essential to find reminders of hope. Lark DeHellen, Director of Community Connections, the grief support program of Memorial Funeral Home, remembers that at a time when she had a very difficult trip and many complex decisions to make, a friend gave her an angel coin, a little oval pewter coin with an angel imprinted on it. And during that trip, whenever she grew overwhelmed and started to lose hope, she would touch that angel coin in her pocket and remember her friend's encouragement. It was a touchstone, each touch reminding her to keep hope. Community Connections is a free program from Memorial Funeral Homes, and working with several community partners, we offer many workshops, seminars, and lectures that can help you keep on keeping on. This is Chris Edenbach of Memorial Funeral Homes, and information on these programs can be found online at communityconnectionsri.com or by calling 846-0698.
Corrigan Financial realizes the need for financial planning services has never been greater, due in part to essential concerns such as longer life expectancies, spending demands, and income tax and estate planning. Corrigan Financial believes everyone needs a financial plan and that all financial decisions should be made within the context of that planning framework. Currently, Corrigan Financial works with over 950 families, manages over $600 million of investment assets, and prepares income tax returns for nearly all their clients. Corrigan Financial's knowledgeable staff includes 11 CPAs, many with advanced degrees and financial planning specific designations. These people, along with considerable investments in systems and technology, have helped keep Corrigan Financial at the forefront of the wealth management profession. Corrigan Financial, for more than 25 years, helping their clients get from where they are to where they want to be.
The 2018 Boston Marathon takes place in less than 2 weeks, and we thought it'd be a good time to catch up with Heather Abbott about the Heather Abbott Foundation, and she'll be hosting events on April 15th, the Sunday before, as well as a watch party on April 16th, and it's all to benefit Heather Abbott Foundation and all the people that you are helping right now. A lot more applications than you can fulfill right now. You imagine how many applications you think you get per year?
We got about 100 last year.
That's a remarkable amount.
And that's the average per year?
Yeah.
And you're helping, you've helped 20 people over the last 3.5 years with actually giving devices, but you've also helped many more with giving information, helping them with insurance and more. What is your, I don't know, want to say a five-year plan, but what is your, how do you see the Heather Abbott Foundation in your dream? What do you see it doing or growing into?
You know, I think that it has so much potential to grow, and for me, it's a part-time volunteer job, but it needs some employees. You know, it needs people that are really dedicated full-time to making it grow. So that is the focus this year for the board of directors, so we're going to kind of strategize to figure out how we can make that happen.
And I guess what's, I don't want to say sad, but I guess I'm going to say sad or remarkable, that the need is there. From so many amputees out there, whether they're born with it or whether an emergency happens and all of a sudden they find themselves being an amputee. Just talk about the need. How big is it out there?
Yeah, there are about 2 million amputees in the United States, and about 180,000 take place each year. I am shocked by how often I hear about somebody getting an amputation, and I'm sure I hear more now than I had in the past, because people will oftentimes tell me about it when they've heard about a new amputee, or they may get in touch with me. But it happens quite frequently. In fact, I talked to my my own surgeon recently about a young woman who lost an arm in a boat accident in Boston, and he said that he alone has at least one incident like that every summer in Boston.
How many, and maybe it's one you can't answer, are the result of accidents? How many the result of disease?
Most of the time, and the large majority of amputations are due to vascular disease, like diabetes. There's a small percentage, I think it's around 20%, that's due to trauma.
All right.
Question I had, because we've talked a lot about the physical. What's been your emotional journey over these 5 years?
I don't know. That's a really broad question. I think it's taken a variety of different turns, but the foundation has certainly been a huge part of my healing process, I think, to be able to make sense of it.
Now, here we are in 2018, and you have people running the marathon, which are my favorite people. I happened to be able to run the marathon in 2010 for charity for the New England Patriots Charitable Foundation and got to work with a great group called Charity Teams. And I'll tell you what, the people that run the marathon are talented. The people that run the marathon for charity are super talented. They're heroes. They're the most giving people in the world. Not only are they trying to train probably for their first marathon, or they're not in the best marathon shape, you would say. These are going to be your 4-hour people, 3-hour people, 3.5-hour people, finishers. And at the same point, they're raising thousands of dollars for your foundation. And I know you work with Susan, my friend Susan from Charity Teams now. How many people do you have running for your foundation this year?
This year we've got 12 people running.
That's a good group.
Yeah.
That's a good group. And how much money do you expect them to raise?
So far they've raised
$87,000. Wow.
So we're hoping maybe they'll break 100 by the end of
That's very impressive.
It is.
And you have people from all over that apply to run the marathon. You know, a lot of these people, and I could do an entire show on charity runners, but a lot of the times people look down on charity runners as, oh, it's their only way of getting in. But I've learned that a lot of people who run for charity have qualified and could just run it on their own if they want. And sometimes there's these people who are running and they have qualified, but they also want to run for charity. And you have people from all over the United States that are running for your team.
We do. We have people, of course, from the Boston area, in other parts of New England, Oklahoma, New York City. And we do have one qualified runner who is a trauma surgeon. And he didn't have to run for charity, but he joined our team.
If people want to go on and learn more about them or maybe support them, because I'm sure some of them might need some fundraising support or might need a little love from the general public out there, where can they go?
They can go to crowdrise.com.
Okay.
And look up the Heather Abbott Foundation. You'll see our 2018 Boston Marathon team there. And we do have a couple of young ladies that are college students that are struggling to meet their minimum right now. I have no doubt they'll come through, but I'm sure they'd appreciate some help.
So if you feel like giving some money to support Heather Abbott Foundation, that's one way you can do it, by supporting the runners, because they do have minimums and they do want to meet them. And believe me, it helps a whole lot if you go into the week of the marathon or go into the marathon and you don't have that bubble over your head. Some other ways people can support the Heather Abbott Foundation.
Well, they can always go to our website, heatherabbottfoundation.org, and donate, or look at opportunities to help us out in other ways, and attend our events. We have two coming up right around Boston Marathon timing. We have one on Sunday, April 15th, at Strip by Strega, which is in the Boston Park Plaza Hotel. It's from 1 to 5, and it's our fourth annual fundraising event during Boston Marathon weekend, and it's going to be great. We have our beneficiary, Vidal Lopez, attending his first visit ever to Boston. Ed DeVoe, the former Watertown police chief,
okay,
will be in attendance with his wife, Janet, and he will be leading us in a moment of silence to recognize those we lost 5 years ago during the time of our fundraiser. And we've got a nice speaking program where we'll recognize our runners and talk a little bit about the growth of the foundation. And we'll be giving out our second annual Helping Hand Award to an individual who's gone above and beyond to help out the Heather Abbott Foundation this year.
Okay. And tickets are available. Should they head to heatherabbottfoundation.org to get them?
they could head to our website and look at our events page, or look on Eventbrite and search our name, and they'll find tickets for that event, as well as our watch party at Bar Below, which is in the Mandarin Hotel on Monday, Marathon Monday, April 16th from 11 to 4.
And how much are tickets for those events?
Trying to remember. I know the prices have changed a little bit.
Sunday is...
A bargain, no matter what.
It is, because it benefits Heather Foundation, Frank. But Sunday is $75 at this point. And I could find out about Monday. I just haven't happened to have that in front of me right
well,
now.
There you go.
But, of course, the proceeds benefit. And it is Boston Marathon Watch Party. You could join Heather Abbott Foundation and Friends to watch Team Limitless. And I like the team name. Tell me a little bit about Limitless, where that came out of.
Well, Limitless is spelled L-I-M-B. and so it's kind of a play on words, because we are raising funds for limbs, typically. It's a great spot to watch the runners. It's right on Boylston Street. Even if you're not watching someone from Team Limitless, it's terrific, and we'll have food and appetizers, and you'll be able to watch the marathon on our big screen TV. It's always a fun day.
Tickets are $100 for that event, Frank, on Monday, and tickets are $75 for the event on Sunday. Tickets can be found on heatherabbottfoundation.org. And I look forward to the Sunday event, and I think every conversation that I've had recently with Heather has revolved around one fundraising aspect of that day, and it is the Wall of Wine.
Yes.
I almost need a boom, boom, boom.
it's an idea that one of our committee members, event committee members, put forth that she had used at her nonprofit's fundraiser. So we will have a big, huge display of 200 bottles of wine that's been donated by various liquor stores and restaurants and individuals from the local area. And we'll have a raffle, and the lucky winner will win 200 bottles of wine.
And if wine's not your thing, I'm sure there will be other raffle items and other ways that people can get involved more than just buying the ticket.
Yeah, we've got some great auction items this year. We've got tickets to James Taylor's concert in Tanglewood with a meet and greet and sound check opportunity. We've got some, I believe, a jersey or a football signed by Gronk. We've got tickets to Country Fest at Gillette Stadium. Lots of exciting items.
All right. And maybe the honor of seeing Mr. Prosnitz there. I know I will be there, so I hope people will join me.
We're going to talk about it.
Strip by Strega up in Boston on Sunday, April 15th at 1 p.m. If you happen to be going up to see the marathon on Monday, April 16th, you can join them at Bar Boulade in Boston, April 16th at 11 a.m., and it's right along the route there.
It certainly is. It's almost as close to the finish line as you can get.
Have you returned every year since the bombings?
I have. I've had runners running for the foundation since 2014.
So, that's right.
So I have been back each year.
And it's a place there's nowhere else I'd rather be than up there watching the runners. It is absolutely magical. And it's so moving to see people push their bodies and just the concentration and devotion and everything else they have to, one of my favorite spots is right there on Boylston Street. You see them take that left there, and they can see the finish line, and it's just a remarkable event and pretty neat. Have you ever been up there, Mr. Prosnitz?
Not for the marathon, no. You know, interestingly, the week before the bombing, I was in Boston and walked right through that area. Kind of gives you chills to think about it afterwards.
Yes, for sure. All right. What we're going to do is take our last break here, and when we come back, we'll wrap up. Again, it's heatherabbottfoundation.org. You can follow them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, wherever else you can find them, and we'll find out more from Heather and see what else that we have missed that she wants to get out there. We'll do that when we come back here on What's Up Newport Radio Edition.
The Newport Music Festival celebrates its 50th anniversary season from July 4th through the 22nd. There will be concerts all over the region at venues like Blythewell, The Breakers, the Newport Art Museum, St. Mary's Church, and Belcourt. Join us for over 42 classical concerts and events, including a garden party, a champagne matinee, and an evening at Newport Vineyards. We hope that you will join us for the celebration. Foundation. You can buy your tickets at newportmusic.org. This is Pamela Pantos, Executive Director, and I look forward to meeting you.
I just saved hundreds of dollars by switching to GEICO. I feel like a whole new person.
Disclaimer, you will not become a whole new person. This is impossible. You might be able to join a gym or diet program, buy a new wardrobe, get hair implants, but your DNA and physical form will remain the same. GEICO waives any and all liability if you attempt to become a new person, except a cyborg. If you choose to become a half-human, half-cybernetic organism with lasers for eyes, the GEICO legal team would be cool with that, because, quote, laser eyes are pretty sweet. Pew, 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 end quote.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Look at that Seth at Fifth Ward Liquor. He is showering you with values. All kinds of values. Robert Mondavi Private Select Cabernet 1.5, now $18.99. J. Lohr Chardonnay 1.5 is only $25.99. Look for Amsterdam Vodka 175 is just $20.99. And Don Julio Silver Tequila is value priced at $43.50. Every visit to Fifth Ward Liquor unveils a wide range of unbeatable savings. Hangar 1 Rosé Vodka, $29.99. Santa Margarita Prosecco, $18.99. You'll find Captain's Daughter Double IPA in 4-pack cans, just $11.99. Other great buys in stock include Blanton Bourbon and Whaler's IPA and Rye in 6-pack cans. Stop by and enjoy these and many more values at Fifth Ward Liquor, 695 Lois Thames, 847-4545.
The fun starts quicker with Fifth Ward Liquor. You better take the Fifth.
If the rumors are true, Apple is getting ready to release a larger iPhone sometime in the not-too-distant future, and if this survey is correct, there's good reason. The consulting firm Accenture says almost half of 23,000 people surveyed in almost two dozen countries want their next phones to be phablets. Those are smartphones with screens as big as 7 inches, getting into tablet territory, growing in popularity when people are going mobile.
Since 2014, Whaler's Brewing Company has been changing the Rhode Island craft beer experience to their flagship American Pale Ale, Rise, which was recently voted best pale ale in the country at the World Beer Awards. Look for Rise in package stores and on tap at over 500 bars and restaurants across Rhode Island and Massachusetts. This, let's see, April 7th would be Saturday. It's National Beer Day, Mr. Prosnitz, and Whaler's will be celebrating live music with Underestimated Profit, a Grateful Dead-inspired band live in the tap room at Whaler's Brewing Company. Whaler's is located at 1174 Kingstown Road in South Kingstown, Rhode Island, and online at whalersbrewing.com. Whaler's, enjoy good company, drink great beer. Final segment here on a Wednesday. Frank Prosnitz is stuck around. Can't get rid of him. Ryan Belmore here. You know, 49 degrees.
I've been thinking about this 200 bottles of wine.
Okay.
And how after I win it, I'm going to what I'm going to do with it.
I thought you were going to start singing me 200 bottles of wine on the wall.
Well, maybe we can do
that. No, we're not going to do that. Heather Abbott joins us from the Heather Abbott Foundation. And it's kind of funny to say from the Heather Abbott Foundation, but that's where you are from, heatherabbottfoundation.org. And how many people do you still keep in touch with from the incidents?
Other people who were injured?
Yes.
Several, especially the amputees. We're all pretty close. One was celebrating a big birthday in Nashville.
Okay, so that's why you were down there and saw Doug the Pug. You also were there for a birthday party.
I was. I spent some time with another one at her home in Florida earlier this winter, and my friends Jessica and Patrick have a children's book that was just released yesterday called Jessica in Rescue about her experience with her service dog, and they remain very close friends of mine.
Oh, cool. So we'll have to look for that book.
It must be all great support for one another.
We certainly try. You know, we've had a very unique thing happen to us that only the 17 of us can really understand.
How many of those 17, or how many in total, have gone on to start foundations like yours?
Of the folks who are amputees, I only know of one or two other foundations. You know, the families of other people who were injured the day of the bombing, and Sean Collier's family following the day of the bombing all did start foundations as well.
Excellent. And again, you can go on and support Heather Abbott Foundation's runners. I really want to point that across, that if you can support those runners, do so. HeatherAbbottFoundation.org, or actually you want to go on CrowdRise and look for Heather Abbott Foundation. You can find all the runners and support them. It goes a long way in showing them support. And there are other events that you do throughout the year, not just in April. This isn't just the foundation, nor, you know, it's one of those things, like people only think of the Irish in March. You know, we don't want people to only think about Heather Abbott Foundation come April, because you are year-round and you have other events throughout the year.
We do. We hold a big event in Boston in September at the Barking Crab over in the Seaport District. It's sponsored by some friends of Crystal Campbell, who died in the bombing. And because it is the five-year anniversary this year, we'll be doing a special tribute to her this year. And I'm very lucky that people don't just think of us during marathon time. Other individuals help us raise funds by having their own fundraisers all year long, which is fantastic.
And if people want to do that, how can they arrange that?
They can email info@heatherabbottfoundation.org or look on our website for contact us. And let us know your idea, and we'd love to help however we can, and certainly appreciate anyone that wants to help us raise funds.
Excellent. Some other ways people can get involved. We've talked about how people can financially support. How about other ways, businesses, volunteers? What else? What other support does the Heather Abbott Foundation need?
I think, you know, just helping raise awareness is important. Raising awareness about us and also about some of the struggles that amputees face is really important for
and
us.
Understanding the scope of the situation. I mean, I was surprised at the numbers that you threw out, about 180,000 amputees a year. That's a large number.
It is a large number, but you know, when you look at it in the entire United States, it's a small number, right? So we don't have a lot of influence with health insurance companies right now.
Are they getting better?
In some cases, they're getting better. In some cases, they're trying to take things away.
Do you find yourself, or does the organization find itself on having to raise awareness or be at the State House or be or get in their hands in politics because of that?
Yeah, we have participated in talking to state representatives in D.C. I've talked with our state representatives as well as Massachusetts. And they're always surprised to hear, you know, when I show up with my high heel leg and tell them that it's not covered by health insurance, it costs $50,000. They're shocked. But we haven't made a whole lot of progress in moving things forward to get them covered. So we'll continue to try to help that move along.
Would that take legislative action? Would that take is there anything legislatively that prevents them from covering, and what would you need for them to be mandated to cover?
They are certain states, including Rhode Island, Massachusetts, are mandated to cover a certain percentage. Health insurance is required too, and Medicare. But in some cases, you know, if a device costs $100,000 and you know, the amputee is still required to pay 20%, that's $20,000.
Yes, that's a big copay.
That's a big number.
Certainly is. And, you know, with those numbers, there are certainly people that may have devices or amputees all around us that we may not even know of because, you know, if people didn't know your story and see you walking down the street or see you walking in here, they're not going to know.
That's right. They usually don't know. And that's, you know, that's how I like to live my life. But not everybody is the same, and I have friends who wear their metal legs exposed, and it's interesting to see the different reactions they get.
Yeah, I imagine there are probably two or three different sides of it. Some people don't want anybody to know, and you know, and then there are people that wear the shorts or whatever it may be, and have their steel, and you want to share their story and want to tell their story.
Yeah, I think it's a personal preference, and there are pros and cons to each.
Absolutely.
I would suspect that there are a lot of people who want to hear from you. Do you go out and speak at various organizations?
I do. You know, I've made a career of public speaking. I work for American Program Bureau, mainly in Washington Program Bureau, where I have agents that get me speeches all over the country. I have visited places I never thought I'd visit before and met some terrific people. I just recently got back from Amelia Island in Florida for a speech, and that was probably one of my favorite ones.
What is the message that you try to put out there during these speeches, or what is a common theme, or you know, what do you want people to walk away with?
Well, it kind of depends on who the audience is, you know, whether it's a group of medical professionals or business people.
You've done graduations?
I have done commencement speeches, but typically I talk about overcoming adversity because it's something we all can relate to. And when I talk about some of the techniques that I use, you know, when I look in retrospect, most people can relate to those and either think about how they use them too or how they might be able to use them in the future.
What are the questions you get from the medical professionals?
I guess it depends, a wide variety, you know, on, you know, what they could have done better, what did they do well, you know, what kind of impact have they had in my life.
So Heather Abbott has joined us, heatherabbottfoundation.org. You can find out all more about their work. You can donate right there, news and events. You can get involved in several different ways. And, of course, you can follow links on their social media to support their runners as well as buy tickets for some of the fundraisers that are coming up in Boston. And it's just a busy time of the year with all the Boston Marathon time of the year. It sounds like it's going to be a great event on Sunday and Monday next week.
Yeah, I think we're going to have two terrific events.
Overall, does the foundation need volunteers besides donors? Do they need volunteers as well?
We probably could use volunteers. I think right now, you know, with a part-time job that I have that can sometimes be full-time, I've had a hard time incorporating how to use them. But we hope to be able to strategize and make some changes to our personnel this year and get some more involvement.
Excellent. Well, Heather, I want to thank you for joining us today. And did we miss anything?
I think we covered everything.
All right. Any last messages or thoughts that you want to share?
No, I just, you know, continue to thank the people and businesses in Newport who have helped support the foundation and hope they know how much I appreciate it.
Excellent. Mr. Prosnitz, any final thoughts today?
Oh, just that, you know, Heather has shown herself to be incredibly courageous and a great example for all of us. And, you know, we thank you for doing that. We, you know, we're sorry that you went through what you did, but what you're giving back to a lot of people is just incredible.
Thank you.
And that's going to do it for us here today on the program. And again, you can go to Heather Abbott, two B's, two T's, foundation.org. Sometimes I even spell it wrong. HeatherAbbottFoundation.org. And you can find out all about more about it. If you missed any portion of this conversation, you can find our podcast available on WADK.com as well as on WhatsUpNoop.com. It's going to do it for us today. Clark Howard is up next. Tomorrow here on the program, we will have Mr. Timmy Tui will be my co-host. And I think we're going to chat about daffodils here on the program.
You couldn't have been speaking with somebody who's more expert about flowers.
He is certainly him and his dog as well. So what do you have coming up tomorrow on your program?
We're actually going to be talking to somebody from the court system that's dealing with abused children and those that go through the court system. And what happens after is the volunteers who go out and actually follow these kids to make sure that after they have gone through the system, not as being abused and being placed somewhere, that they're actually getting the kind of attention they deserve. I was amazed at some of the numbers, number of kids that die each year as a result of abuse.
And you can catch Frank tomorrow on the open forum with that discussion. I'll be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m. Have a great Wednesday.
Listen online 24/7 at WADK.com. This is your hometown information station, 1540 WADK Newport.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn